disciples to belong to. And now something more. This community that Jesus is forming will need to be open to the world and open to the whole world, and it can't have any barriers keeping people out. Of course, if someone is out, they have to be named to be such. We call it excommunication, is the technical term in tradition of the church and in Paul's letters. But so if I'm trying to be in but I'm actually out, well, people better tell me where I really am so that I'll wake up and either come in really or not. But there can be no barriers from the church's point of view to accepting anyone who wants to belong. And that's what this scene is saying. Jesus left that place, went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon up in Lebanon, what we call Lebanon now, Phoenicia. Just then a Canaanite woman from the region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord." Lord always means disciple. Lord, disciple. Lord, son of David. Messiah. "Have mercy on me. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not answer her at all. We'll find out why in a moment. His disciples came up to him and urged him, saying, "Look, they're good at this, aren't they? Send her away." So they're into sending people away in a great hordes. Comes. So we better watch that at least. "Send them away. She keeps shouting after us." The woman's driving us berserk. We're here for a holiday. Pretty sure that's why they're there. And here's Jesus. He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Jesus had to discern his own limitations too, obviously. He had to discern the will of God, which is not for Jesus to do everything, but for him to do something. He had to pray to find God's will. Already earlier in Matthew's gospel, when Jesus sent the disciples out on their mission, he says, "Go only to the lost, to the tribes of the children of Israel." Like, that's where your mission is to be. We've already seen different scenes, like the centurion and so on, where extraordinarily and with an immense amazement, Jesus actually does something for a Gentile person. But it's like an unexpected thing, because it seems that he has made a discernment that God wants him not to go to Rome, but to do something incredibly beautiful in his own place as a Jew. And that makes sense anyhow. But Jesus' discernment of God's will is like yours and mine. It's a moment-by-moment thing. And it seems that Jesus is about to receive a revelation through the signs. He read the signs. He didn't have a conviction that blocked him from seeing. He had a conviction that kept his eyes open. Now, up till now, his conviction was that this is what God wanted him to do, and that was largely correct and historically factual. And no doubt argued in the early church a lot. Jesus really only looked after Jews. We should be looking after Jews. Council of Jerusalem. Everyone should become a Jew if they're going to be a Christian. Otherwise, it's berserk. And what the heck is Paul doing, tearing around through the blooming place, making disciples, and he's not even asking them to be circumcised, and the church is going to fall apart. We've got to get a bit of unity and uniformity, if possible, so we know who's who. And this is all going on. The argument going on in Jerusalem. And you know the argument. Acts 15, Galatians 2, if you want to read about it. But the church in Antioch, where they first struggled with this, and Peter came up and James came up and Paul, everybody's there. This is a testing ground. The church in Antioch, where presumably, where it seems most likely Matthew's gospel comes from, has lived with this question and has come to conclusions about it already by now. Namely, that the church is to be open to Gentiles, open to every person exactly where they are. Come as you are. As long as you believe. Well, go back to the Gospels and hear how much of this is actually biographically accurate or how much it's an attempt by Matthew to understand. Well, we haven't got that certainty, but it's beautifully portrayed here. And Jesus says, look, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but this determined lady, woman, if you're going to go to God, be determined, knelt down before him and saying, Lord, help me. She would not get out of the road. She wouldn't make it comfortable. She wouldn't make it easy. She wouldn't say, oh, I beg your pardon, I'm sorry, I didn't realize what God wanted you to do. I'll try somewhere else. She knew what she wanted. She had him, his cloak in her hand. There's no way he's going to get away. Lord, help me. Desperate mother stuff. Jesus makes another male attempt to get out of this. Not a very brilliant one, I might think. Well, it's not fair, he says, to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Well, I suppose you could be forgiven for thinking that was a bit racist or something. Certainly it would be politically inappropriate today to talk like that. The word for dogs happens to mean puppies, house dogs. So presumably he's playing with, and by the way, he said it, by the way, if you want to know how Jesus said it, listen to the response and you know. So he is using a pretty risky adage the Jews would have certainly invented, where the Gentiles were often called dogs and they were the sons of the kingdom. Dogs in a playful way sometimes, but dogs. So Jesus, it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Yes, says this woman, who's still in there, and obviously didn't feel rejected by Jesus or insulted. She probably saw the smile on his face and saw she was winning through, so she keeps going, yes, Lord, but even the dogs get the crumbs when they fall off their master's table. At which I cannot but think Jesus absolutely burst out laughing and gave in. Looked at the apostles and said, what hope have I got of having a holiday, even in Tyre and Sidon? He said, woman, great is your faith. Let it be done as you wish. And maybe that day, Jesus learnt that his own discernment of God's will, God wanted something even broader for him. God wanted him to respond wherever he found faith. And of course, by accident of geography, that rarely happened that it wasn't a Jew because of where he lived. But obviously the church sifted through the stories of Jesus to find examples to encourage them in what they were doing and what we are certainly now committed to do. Her daughter was healed instantly. After Jesus left that place, he passed along the Sea of Galilee. And he went up to the mountain where he sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the maimed, the blind, the mute, and many others. They put them at his feet and he cured them. So the crowd were amazed when they saw the mute speaking and the maimed whole and the lame walking and the blind seeing. And they praised the God of Israel. Lection from Isaiah 25, verses 6 to 10. Jesus goes up onto the mountain. This mountain is Mount Sion. This is the mountain of the church, Mount of Beatitudes, the Mount of Transfiguration, the Mount of Sinai, the Mount where Jesus said, go to the whole world. It's every mount, it's every place where we can contact God. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, a rich food filled with marrow, well-aged wine strained clear. I've got a feeling Isaiah knew what wines were. Got a bit of a taste for them. He'd make a good South Australian, wouldn't he? well-aged wines strained clear. He will destroy on this mountain the shroud that's cast over the people, the sheet spread over the nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces and the disgrace of his people. He'll wipe away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we've waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation, for the hand of the Lord will rest on this mount. And straight away, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for the crowd. This is the absolute essence of discipleship of Jesus, a heart that feels for others. I have compassion for the crowd. And we can all do it, of course. No heart is naturally hard. I have compassion for the crowd because they've been with me now for 3 days. Does that do something for you? 3 days. 3 days in the tomb, the paschal mystery, death, resurrection. And they have nothing to eat. And I don't want to send them away hungry. They might faint on the way. And again, the disciples, so slow to learn. Where are we to get enough bread in the desert to feed so great a crowd? And Jesus said to them, how many loaves have you? And they said, seven. Seven, the fullness of number. Not the 12 disciples. Now, just a different symbol. Very compatible with the other, but seven now, and a few small fish. So ordering the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and much more explicit now, after giving thanks, and the Greek word is Eucharist, that is the word for giving thanks, he broke them and he continued to give them to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all of them ate and were filled, and they took up broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. And those who were eaten were 4,000 men, besides women and children. Continuing, give us this day our daily bread. Again and again, God meets our hunger. And after sending the crowds away, he got into the boat and went to the region of Magadan.